All right. Word to the wise. Frankie's little girl, Nancy. Yeah. Local news, the time that sits at WRJN Radio. And here's some news for you. Police in Nebraska looking for a forgetful person who returned a rental car the other day with 9 pounds of meth inside the car. Just happened last week. They posted a photo on social media and asked the person to swing by the police department and pick up their stuff they left in the car. Of course, you know, at their earliest convenience. It's 7 o'clock on the noggin. Let's check the news of the morning. You ready? Let's do it.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, receive Kenosha.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A plane carrying three Americans freed from Russia landed at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland late last night. President Biden was there to greet them.
Did you think that this moment would come, sir?
Yes.
Vice President Harris on hand as well. Evan Gershkovich, Paul Whelan, and Alsu Kermasheva hugged loved ones after the largest prisoner swap with Russia since the Cold War. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
The three Americans are now at a military hospital in Texas, where they will be evaluated and provided any care they may need. Paul Whelan said his freedom didn't seem real until he was flying over England. He wore a pin President Biden gave him. It isn't clear how long they'll remain in San Antonio.
Brace yourself for another round of brutal heat. Here's CBS's Tracy Wolf.
148 million Americans will experience heat on Friday that is made at least three times more likely because of climate change. The National Weather Service is forecasting several days of extreme heat for the majority of the United States. Some areas, including the Great Plains, could experience temperatures that feel hotter than 110 degrees.
We'll get a new snapshot of the economy next hour.
The Labor Department's July employment report is expected to portray a less robust job market. Bankrate.com senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick.
Payrolls are seen rising by fewer than 200,000 jobs, the consensus among some economists around 180,000. And the unemployment rate is seen remaining unchanged at 4.1%.
Hamrick says if new hires are as expected, it would be the second sub-200,000 payrolls number this year. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
There's a hearing in Delaware today on Elon Musk's whopping compensation package from Tesla. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The judge is being asked to reconsider his ruling in validating the $56 billion pay package Musk received from Tesla shareholders. After the court issued the ruling, the shareholders met again and once more approved $56 billion in compensation.
A scare at the Olympics today, where Slovakian swimmer Tamara Pataka collapsed poolside just after a qualifying heat for the women's 200-meter individual medley. She was given an oxygen mask, carried off in a stretcher. Late word, it was an asthma attack. Last night in Paris, Team USA Simone Biles won her sixth gold medal in the individual all-around. Her teammate, Suni Lee, took bronze.
I'm so grateful that I had my coaches, and, you know, having Simone here today definitely helped me a lot because we were both freaking out, so it just felt nice to know that I wasn't out there freaking out by myself.
Yeah. Dow futures down 377. NAS futures off 309. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The missing Racine County woman was found safe yesterday, but now Kenosha investigators are looking for an 89-year-old man. A silver alert has been issued for Robert Vines Sr., an 89-year-old man missing from Kenosha. Vines, who has dementia, was last seen Wednesday walking near his apartment complex on 18th Street near Pick and Save. People are being asked to be on the lookout for Vines. He's a black male, 5'9", weighing 160 pounds with brown eyes and a bald head. There's an image on the KPD social media page. A bench warrant has been issued for the conservative activist from Racine County accused of election fraud. Harry Waite had a court date yesterday for a hearing about him wanting to change his attorneys. Court records from yesterday show that Waite indicated to the court that he thought the court date was a whim of the judge and didn't show. He had previously filed a notice regarding termination and withdrawal of counsel. The charges against Waite involves fraudulent requests for absentee ballots, a move Waite says was done to prove the myvote.wi.gov website was not secure. Someone lying in the middle of Highway E in Summers was hit and killed by a car early yesterday. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department says the person driving the car stopped and called police after the collision. The person killed has been identified as 33-year-old Anthony Mitchell. We're working on learning more. Severe weather swept through the area last night, bringing a light show but canceling a comedy show. State fair officials had to cancel comedian Gabriel Iglesias' set at the grandstand last night. While the storms brought heavy rain to some areas, there have been no reports of significant damage or injuries. There was flooding on some roads. The state fair did continue despite the rain. It runs through the 11th in West Allis. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Brewers hit the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Milwaukee Brewers finished the month of July with actually a losing record of 11-13, and yet they remain in first place in the NL Central. The crew getting some help from the Cubs last night, who scored three runs in the bottom of the ninth to beat the Cards 5-4 at Wrigley Field. The Cardinals remain in second place at 5.5 behind Milwaukee. Manager Pat Murphy on what he's telling his team as they begin the month of August with a road trip to Washington, D.C. tonight against the Nationals.
You have to kind of reach down and kind of reassess like where you are personally and how you can get back to that little lift in your step and that edge that you had early, and not worry about standings and things like that. Worry about playing good, winning this pitch and playing good. You start worrying about your numbers, next year's contract, that comes into people's lives.
NFL Packers resting up for tomorrow night's family night, completely sold out at Lambeau Field. Running back Josh Jacobs dealing with a groin injury. With Sports on, Mike Clemens.
WRJN Sports with Mike Clemens is sponsored hourly by Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Learn more online at paysbig.com.
Clouds will linger around for a while this morning, then becoming mostly sunny by this afternoon. Our high today, 82. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 69. Tomorrow, sunshine 84. Same for Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
I'm wearing contact lenses now. I got glasses when I was 10 years old. When you're 10, people put things on your face. You just leave it there. But I thought I was getting glasses because I couldn't tell what my parents looked like. Whenever I'd ask my mother for money, she'd say, "What do I look like, a bank?" When you're 10, your parents are the bank. If I'm 10 years old, I can't walk into Capital One. The teller's just going to say, "What do I look like, your mother?" So I had glasses at 10. Braces at 12. When you're thinking about talking to a girl for the very first time in your life, you want as much corrective apparatus on your head as you can get. I said to my parents, "Why stop now? Let's get me a hearing aid, orthopedic shoes. I want to look like I got a lot of doctors in my life."
My baby does the hanky panky. My baby does the hanky panky. Walking on down the line.
Thank you.
hanging on down the line.
Yeah. You know I saw her for the very first time. A pretty little girl standing all alone. Hey, pretty baby, can I take you home? I never saw her, never saw her.
Very low and tight now.
Hey, my baby, does the hanky pain?
Timeless Hits, WRJN. Thank you for joining me. I'm Don Rosen. I appreciate it. August 20th is National Radio Day. Forget about that day. Today is August 2nd. Now, this date means nothing to anybody on the planet, probably just me, because on August 2nd, 1972, I was just out of high school, and I got a call on my phone, and it was a guy named Jim Davies, who was the sales manager at a radio station on Long Island, WGBB. And he said, do you still want that job as janitor? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, get on your blue jeans, come here at 5 o'clock and start cleaning the building. And that's how it all started. With me on the phone is Dave Veazer. Dave was our, at the time, our afternoon guy, later morning guy at WGBB. And you're one of the few people that was in the building when I first started cleaning up after everybody.
And you did a great job, Don.
You know, I think I did, you know. Years later, I ran into our program director, Bob Lawrence, when I worked in Atlanta, and we had dinner. He was doing the New York Islanders broadcast, and at that time, they had the Atlanta Flames was down there, and now it's the Calgary Flames. But he said, you know, out of all the years, you were the best janitor we ever had.
That's true.
I said, I'm still available. But, yes.
Hey, Don, you were great. You were a wonderful guy on the air, and also, people don't know, is you used to prepare my morning show when I had the mornings, because for a while there, I think you were doing the overnight, and
right.
I would come in at 6 o'clock in the morning, take over the morning for the morning show, and you had the half hour all laid out, the carts, the commercials, the news, everything. I just walked in, hit a couple of buttons, and away we went. It was wonderful.
We had a great radio station. It wasn't like radio stations today. This was a three-story office building.
Right.
We had the entire building with these giant letters on the outside of the building, WGBB, and it was right opposite the train station, the Merrick Long Island Railroad train station.
And the call letters stayed on that building for a number of years after the station left. That's the strange thing about it. But, yeah, that was fun times, good times out there. But, by the way, the building is still there, but the call letters are gone, of course.
Yeah, I think it was a health building after a while.
Yeah, something like that. So haven't seen it lately, but, yeah, that's what I remember. But sounds like you have a great thing going there in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm very happy here. I've been doing – so anyway, so this is my 53rd continuous year in radio. We just started the 53rd continuous year. My mother for years said, is this really what you want to do? Because my brother was a doctor. And she, is this really what you want? Is this really going to be? My mother was 92 years old. Is this it? Is this going to be is this it? Where we're going with this thing? Forever radio? And I said, yeah.
And the answer is yes. And, you know, you're probably one of the exceptions because of having that record of continuity. There are some other people in the business who have done that, but most of the people go in and then leave and go on to other things. So you have established quite a record of accomplishment there. You should be very proud of that.
Well, I couldn't do anything else. You know, and it started when I was 9 years old, my mom and dad bought me a Remco Caravelle radio transmitter. And I started my basement radio station. And you can hear me for about maybe 10 or 12 houses in a circumference. And you can hear me in the neighborhood. And then my dad.
You're not the only one. I had a basement station, too, when I was growing up.
Every radio.
That was almost something most of us did. And my parents, who were upstairs, because I was in the basement, would sometimes be hearing the crazy rock and roll music I was playing on my radio station downstairs. And they wanted to shut me down. They threatened to call the FCC, but I said, don't worry about that.
You know, but mine was legal. But what wasn't legal was I touched the antenna to the phone wires. And so where everybody had a radio near their phone in their landline in their house, you can hear the radio station. That part probably wasn't too legal. The My dad worked for 1010 Winds Radio in New York for a while.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Back in the early 60s, he was there.
That was when there was still music, before they went all news, I guess.
Right, he was their traffic reporter.
Wow, how about that? Yeah, that was, we were just reading about Winds, about their format changes in the early 60s. Westinghouse Broadcasting had bought them, and just before they went all news, they had a couple of years of very successful top 40 radio there. Good station.
A lot of big legends went through that place. You know, and they started the all-news radio format. They were the first radio station in America, in the world, to do 24-hour news. And everybody said, what are they going to do for 20? How can they talk about the news for 24 hours? Well, the rest is history, because they did it.
You got that right. Today you can talk about it for 28 hours.
That's great. So we worked with a lot of great people there that are no longer with us, unfortunately. One of my dearest friends at that station, other than you, was Bob O'Tone.
Yeah.
And
well, unfortunately, we lost Bob a few years ago, didn't we?
We lost him. And he was such a guy. I talked to him not long before he passed away.
Yeah.
He was still doing work with radio. He was doing
Yeah, he's been in that business for a long time. He's called Bullet Bob. Remember Bullet Bob? That's his nickname on the air. Bullet Bob on the air.
Everybody had nicknames back in the 70s on the air. Some of them were
bad. My nickname when I first started was The. Remember Bill Musser, our GM, wanted to do something at night that the kids would catch on to. So they changed my first name from Dave to The.
Veezer.
The Veezer on the air for several years. That was fun. People write to The. Is The there? What a business.
The Veezer Dedication Hotline. At that station.
Yes, so we had a lot of listeners because of that. We did very well with that.
So I cleaned the toilets. I cleaned the deck.
You did a good job. You queued up the records and cleaned the toilets.
I got a few of janitor stories to tell you in just a moment here. Hang in there. Dave Veezer is with me, one of the people I started the radio with years and years and years and years and years ago. As a matter of fact, 53 years ago today. Just chatting with Dave. More coming up at 7:17 at WRJN. Local news and timeless hits.
When it comes to Wisconsin sports, WRJN has you covered. All this season, WRJN is pleased to be your new home for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hear all the games home and away on WRJN. In addition to great baseball, we'll bring you Badgers, Packers, and local high school games when those seasons start. WRJN is also home to one of our state's top sports reporters, Mike Clemens, with his reports every hour now sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Learn more at paysbig.com. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and WRJN, great partners for hometown sports.
Take the first step towards a more independent life. Test drive a Golden or Pride Power Chair or scooter and reclaim your freedom with Easy Mobility Solutions. Lightweight, durable, portable, affordable. Crafted for the utmost comfort and convenience. Visit Southeastern Wisconsin's trusted choice for power mobility solutions. An authorized Pride and Golden dealer backed by the Never Pay MSRP guarantee. Stop by the Easy Mobility Solutions showroom across the street from the old Kmart on Douglas Avenue in Racine.
Hi, this is Chris Morrow, general manager at WRJN. Well, we're getting close to Packer season again, and once again, WRJN will be your home for Green Bay Packer football from the preseason all the way through the playoffs. If you'd like to get your business involved in sponsoring the Packers, we have something that could get you on the air for under $400 per game. If you want to find out more on how you can sponsor Packer games this year, in some cases for under $400, call me, 262-951-8549.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Olympics are underway in Paris, and did you know the Badger State is well represented? 18 athletes on Team USA call Wisconsin home. There are two from the northwestern part of the state, Kenny Bednarik, a runner from Rice Lake, and weightlifter Mary Tyson Lappin from Eau Claire. Two from northeast Wisconsin qualified. Tyrese Halliburton is from Oshkosh and plays basketball, and Madeline Watermaker is a rower from Nina. 14 are from the south central and southeast area, ranging from Margarita Vincenti, competing in fencing. She's from Hartford. Palin Jacobson from Elkhorn is a wrestler. Marie Laborde qualified for judo and is from Kenosha. Then we have Lauren O'Connor from Belleville, Sophia Vitus from Franklin, and Nick Rusher from West Bend. They're all competing in rowing. The Olympic Games continue through August 11th. Go team! Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Well, you can't say we didn't listen to you. You may have noticed WRJN is playing the timeless hits you told us you missed. We'll still bring you Racine's local news, weather, and sports every day, now enhanced with timeless hits. Don Rosen expands his morning show to 9 a.m., followed by Cindy Huber 9 till 2 and Kurt Bowman afternoons 2 until 6. Hometown Radio Refreshed with local news and timeless hits on WRJN.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN.
Speaking about basement radio stations, that's Chris Morrow, our general manager, also director of sales for Civic Media. He's got the ultimate basement radio station. He's got cart machines. He's got turntables, reel-to-reels. This guy's got everything, and actually broadcast from there on different stations around the country on weekends. Whoa.
Now, that's a good deal. I never had anything like that, but good for him.
Well, let's talk about my cleaning days here. Eventually, I got on the radio, but I was still janitor at the station. Getting $1.85 an hour, I might add. And I remember one day I was filling in on afternoons for somebody. I was did overnight, seven nights a week. But they said, can you fill in on afternoons for a day or two? Somebody was sick. I don't know. Steve Andrews, I think, was out. Anyway, so I filled in. And I get this intercom message. Hey, Don, there's a Girl Scout who threw up in the lobby. Can you clean it up, please? So I had to put on like an American Pie or whatever it was, get down to the lobby, start cleaning up the puke in the lobby while I was on the air. And it made me sick and nauseous. I felt bad for the girl. She was sitting there on a chair. She was got nauseous, but I had to get the announcer off the radio to go clean it up. Give me a break.
Well, what happened, by the way, speaking about American Pie, that we were chatting about, we call them bathroom beauties. We talk about that in radio. The songs that when we had our own boards and we were running our own shop, and you had to run sometimes Mother Nature Calls, and there were certain songs like Hey Jude and things like that that we had a special place for. And thank God we had those songs we could play.
Yeah, you know, it's when I sometimes, you know, I was going to college at the same time, and I was tired. And if I didn't get all the cleaning done between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m., I used to do it while I was on the overnights, on the overnight shift. And I used to put on Rare Earth, Get Ready for 22 minutes, and Days of Future Past by the Moody Blues, which ran for 30 minutes. And I remember our program director, Bob Lawrence, called me up one day, and he said, if I ever hear those songs on the radio again, I'm going to break the album, and you're never going to play them again.
I had a few like that, which I play. I was always wondering if I was going to get caught. But most of the time at night, you were pretty safe. Because they didn't usually listen too carefully at night.
And he couldn't get the radio station where he lived because we dropped power at night on the radio station. He couldn't even hear it. Yep. But he had this
exactly
little...
Exactly right. So you were pretty safe in that situation.
He had this secret little tape recorder, a skimmer, they call it, up in his office.
That's right.
Spying on us.
Do you remember that you used to be up there and you'd see the skimmer going when I was
yes.
doing my show and you'd come down and give me a heads up? Hey, they're taping you tonight, so be careful what you say.
Now, while I was doing overnights there, there was one big event that took place. Al Case, who was our chief engineer, and he also was a member of the Amityville Long Island Fire Department.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me up in the middle of the night, and he said, is anybody in the newsroom there? And I said, well, no, not yet. It was like 4 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning. I said, no, not yet. He said, well, I'm here in Amityville, and they found six bodies of this family, the DeFeo family, in this house. I'm here right now, and we can go on the air real quickly and mention it. And we did. So that makes WGBB the very first radio station in the country to even talk about the Amityville horror.
Isn't that amazing where it started? And that became a whole series of movies and whatnot, that whole story.
Yeah.
They still talk about that to this day. That's amazing.
Yeah, the DeFeo. Yeah. Now, at the time, they didn't know Ronald DeFeo wiped out his family. But Al said they're bringing out the bodies now. And this was like in the middle of the night. And I said, six? The whole family? He said, yes. I said, who did it? They don't know.
I had a good friend who lived right down the block from that house, and she said on weekends people would come down, drive around, do a U-turn, go back. It was like almost you could collect tolls for people who wanted to see the house where this all happened.
Well, they changed the facade a little bit, so they got rid of those eyeball type windows they used to have, the teardrop windows.
They
changed it. Is it 112 Ocean Avenue in Amityville?
Amityville, that's right. Yeah,
right on the canal. A very expensive house.
Water, beautiful location. Beautiful.
Yeah,
it was crazy stuff though. Yeah.
They said that DeFeo, the old man, was connected to the mob, and that they thought that had something to do with it, but it turns out they had a crazy son.
Yeah, I think that's where it really wound up going. And what scary stuff, I'll tell you.
Mm. You know, they're talking about the Olympics a few minutes ago. We had a basketball team at WGBB called the Double Dribblers.
Yes, we were.
And I don't know whose dopey idea this was to have six out-of-shape people from the radio station playing gym teachers and high school basketball teams for charity. I don't know whose stupid idea that was. These teams had like 15 people, so they would change them out. We had six. Everybody stayed in for the whole game, and we're all out of shape.
And we Very much so.
Half the team was...
Did we win a game? I don't think we won one game the whole year.
No.
I think we were totally winless, but that's okay. You know, it was good in a way. We did get a lot of good comments. We met a lot of listeners and did a lot of good for public service for the different schools and whatnot. But, boy, we were sure beat after the next day after those games.
I mentioned you the other day. We were talking about high school football. It starts up again on WRJN here in a couple of weeks.
Right.
You and Bob Lawrence were our high school football guys. You broadcast our high school football games. Now they have Friday Night Lights, but back then it was on Saturday afternoons, the high school
football games. That is correct. And one of the funniest stories I remember with Bob, we were doing a game in Elmont, and we were up on the top of the school. They didn't have a press box, and the wind was blowing, and the wind blew the sheet with all the names and the numbers of the people who were playing football off the side of the school and down onto the ground. So for about 15 minutes, we didn't know who was carrying the ball. So we made up the names for 15 minutes, and nobody ever said anything.
You know, and back then, it wasn't like today where you just turn on a cellular phone or whatever to broadcast. You had to get a phone line installed into those stadiums.
And they called it the 5KC line was the name of it.
And if you
broadcast quality. And it was expensive, but that was the only way you could do it in those days.
And if you really wanted good quality, you got an 8KC line, which was about a couple of $1,000 to have installed.
Yeah, we didn't go that route. we went for the 5KC line. A big deal. A lot of people listen to that, and high school football is a big, big, big thing.
And it's coming back to WRJN. WGBB was a full-service community radio station. We were in marching bands with kazoos.
That's right.
We were everywhere. Everywhere things that went on Long Island, we were part of. And that's what WRJN's doing again here. And radio will never die as long as you keep it local and relevant.
Don, I couldn't say it better. That's exactly, and so many stations have not gone that route, but you are absolutely 1,000% correct. Great to hear that that's happening for the Racine listeners. That's a wonderful thing for your station. I'm so glad that it's working out well for you and the station. Sounds great.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, the WGBB Facebook page. Now, you had to have worked at the station to become a member. And there's some interesting things on there. I put stories on there all the time, some of my memories while I still have them. But a lot.
Yeah, I tell you, radio does make a lot of great memories, but it's good to have people that we can still talk to and bring back memories like yourself. It's good stuff.
A lot of people went through there that went on to bigger and better things.
Absolutely.
Bettina Gregory was one of our newscasters. Mm-hmm. She went on to ABC News.
Right.
She was on ABC World News Tonight, a whole bunch of things. Just dropped out of my head here.
The newsman?
Yeah, Bill.
Bill Whitney.
Bill Whitney went out to CBS News.
Frank Setapani.
Went out to CBS News. And who went out to the Wall Street Journal Report? Oh, I just, all the names.
Larry Kofsky.
Went out to the Wall Street Journal Report. So we had a lot of people go through there.
Yes,
they went
out
to much bigger and better things in life. And, of course, you've been married to the same woman for 200 years. Now, it's actually...
Well, she was telling me the other day, it seems like it's been 200 years. I don't know if she was being serious or not, but 55 years.
Congratulations.
Last year, so
thank you.
Yes,
that's wonderful.
We live in North Carolina, and we miss Long Island, but not the taxes.
And you lived right in back of the original transmitter site from 1924.
Yes.
It was in your backyard.
Correct. Right in my backyard. That was not by design. That just happened to be the house we bought. But there it was, right in our backyard. So we actually did a morning show once from that transmitter site when we lost our telephone line. And that you would have loved that. That was a real fun time. But again, that's radio. We kept going. After about a 15-minute break, we were back on the air. But good memories.
Well, with new technology came new problems. It's always there.
Indeed.
Hey, Dave, thank you very much for sharing in this half hour. I really enjoyed it. And, August 2nd will always be my anniversary getting into radio. I'll never forget this date. And I thank you very much for being part of my anniversary date today.
Thank you, Don. It's great being with you. Have a great weekend.
And say hello to Gloria for me.
Will do. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's fun. 53 years I begin today in radio. Wow. And Dave Visa was there at the very beginning when I was cleaning toilet bowls and wiping the cigarette ashes off everybody's desks. And then getting back home and coming back at midnight to do the overnight show. Hey, it's 7:30. We're talking movies with Brett Hoffman coming up in just a moment at WRJN. But first, excuse me, Stuart J. Waddles has our news this morning.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. After a three-day search involving the National Guard, dogs, and dozens of members of the community, 85-year-old Karen Wandry of Racine County has been found alive and is safe. Wandry went missing Monday. There's no word yet about how she was found, but she's currently undergoing medical evaluation and is reported to be in stable condition. The Racine County Sheriff's Office says in a statement that they express deep appreciation for the community's support. April elections have August implications. Yesterday, judges elected in the spring were sworn in, with Racine County now having Jessica Lynott overseeing Branch 3 of the Circuit Court. In Kenosha County's spring election, Heather Iverson beat Judge Frank Gagliardi in the race for the Kenosha County Circuit Court Branch 3. She was also sworn in this week. Both of the new judges unseated judges that had been appointed by the governor. People interested in policing have an opportunity in Mount Pleasant. Applications are open for the 2024 Citizen Police Academy hosted by the Mount Pleasant Police Department. It starts September 10th. The academy aims to educate about police operations through a series of interactive classes and activities. Those interested in enrolling should submit their applications by August 23rd. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Imagine being able to detect pests on your crops simply by listening to them eat. This groundbreaking concept has become a reality with the introduction of the Insect Eavesdropper, a tool designed to transform pest management and agriculture. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and UW entomology professor Emily Bick is the co-founder of the Insect Eavesdropper and says that by harnessing the power of sound, this sensor offers farmers a new way to detect and monitor insect pests directly on their crops and provides early detection and precise insights that can significantly enhance crop protection strategies.
It's basically a guitar mic that we clipped onto a plant which had an insect feeding on it. We thought of the idea through a trip actually to a sugarcane plantation in Indonesia. I was working with all of these population models trying to predict when pests show up just based off of the temperature. And the farmers I was working with out there said, we don't care when the adults show up. We really want to know, are the larvae in the stock? In the state of Wisconsin, this is kind of like a stem borer in soybeans or European corn borer, and we thought we can actually use the plant stem as a way to amplify the sound and actually hear or eavesdrop on insects as they're directly feeding on the crops.
I'll have more agriculture news right after this.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compeer Financial's Agri Mindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag, and you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compeer's next Agri Mindset webinar at compeer.com/register. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. A new round of funding is coming for dairy farmers and processors under the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. Rebecca Sweeney with the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association says a new round of $100,000 grants will be open for application in mid-August. Sweeney says there has been a great demand for the dollars as producers add on farm processing and processors upgrade their facilities. Information about these grants can be found at the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association website or through the University of Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research website. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Clouds will linger around for a while this morning, then becoming mostly sunny by this afternoon. Our high today, 82. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 69. Tomorrow, sunshine, 84. Same for Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
I actually just got back from my high school reunion. They asked if I wanted to perform at it. I was like, I would rather strip at my family reunion than tell jokes to the girl who, during class, pierced her own belly button with a stapler. Yeah, grew up in a real methy area. My high school crush showed up with a marijuana leaf tattooed on his face. Yeah, I was still in denial. I was like, well, someone's not afraid of commitment.
It's time to talk about movies. My favorite time of the week is I love movies. Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters is here. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Don.
Okay, my wife and I are going to go see Twisters tonight. Looking forward. I hear nothing but good things online. People saying it's better than they thought it would be. Because when you kind of redo a movie and reimagine it, well, it doesn't work. They said this one is really good, better than the first, which I can't imagine.
Yeah, better than I thought it would be does not give this movie justice. This is a phenomenal movie. It's kind of a disaster movie, but you've got action, you've got drama. It's been quite some time since the first one's been released, and there have been advances in technology that make the whole experience of watching these Twisters amazing on the big screen. So if anyone hasn't gone to see it, go to take a look at it. For the ladies, there's Glenn Powell, and for the guys, there's Daisy Edgar-Jones, and what more can you ask for in a picture?
Yeah, cows flying by, anything.
I won't give any spoilers that way, but let's just say the technology and watching how they put these Twisters together and how they go through towns is simply amazing to watch.
Okay, now that was one of my must-see summer movies, Twisters. I love those type of movies. Because you know why? They can't happen to me. I mean, these superhero movies, they don't really do much for me because I know it can't happen. Tornadoes can happen anywhere, anytime. And so it's like a danger. You know, that's what made the movie The Exorcist so big, because people weren't sure that couldn't really happen, the possession thing, and they were afraid of it. Nobody's afraid of Godzilla because they know it's not going to happen. They're not too sure about tornadoes, though. They happen all the time, and you like to see them on a screen and not outside your bedroom window at 4 in the morning, so that's good. The other must-see movie is coming out this weekend called Trap, from one of my favorite filmmakers, and I'm one of the people that liked M. Night Shyamalan's The Visitors. I liked all his movies. I think was it The Visitors? The one with, there was a community and they wouldn't let people venture outside the community. I forget the name of that was.
That was The Village.
The Village, not The Visitors. The Village. I love that film. I'm one of the few people that likes every M. Night Shyamalan movie. So we got another one opening up today called Trap. Let's talk about that one first.
Yeah, this one looks really exciting for anyone that is about to go see it. M. Night Shyamalan directs this. The star in this one is Josh Hartnett, who, of course, is a very accomplished actor, and Healy Mills also is in the movie. Now, in this one, he plays a father who takes his daughter to a pop concert, and while they're there, they realize they're the center of a very dark event, and that's that the police have set up a trap specifically for a serial killer. They know the serial killer's in the arena. They're trying to catch him, and if you watch the trailer, you'll find out that some of the twists are even revealed in the trailer, but let me tell you, there's much, much more to this movie than meets the eye. Trap is a really neat film. It's a neat premise. It starts out with something we can all relate to, whether you're taking your daughter to Taylor Swift concert or taking your daughter to you know, whatever the name of pop star is. But now, the whole idea that they're setting a trap and they've got this person contained and what's going to happen next. And there were premieres last night that people enjoyed, and it's on screen this whole weekend.
You know, and it's one of those movies, again, that could happen to you. You could be at this concert where they're doing this kind of stuff. That's why I think the best movies are when you can relate to them. And they
can. It's funny you say that. When you think about Jaws, doesn't everyone think about that when they're swimming in the ocean?
Yes!
Everyone thinks about that. And I think about people would tell me that women were afraid to take a shower alone after Psycho.
Yes!
I mean, everything like that, when you think about it, is relatable.
Yeah, because you can relate to it. Yeah, and especially this summer, hearing all these shark attacks in the news, and everybody, the minute you hear about a shark attack in the news, they think Jaws. I mean, you have to think of that. And that music. Dun, 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 dun. I'm learning that, by the way, on the piano now. It's called Shark Attack by John Williams. And that's one of my piano tunes I'm working on. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, so, and I mean, that movie still holds up today, Jaws. I mean, when you make a movie that, you know, is kind of like dated, Jaws is not dated at all. I mean, you can still relate to that movie today. Now, we have another movie opening up today, a more family-friendly movie, right?
Yeah, it's a family-friendly film. It's based on a book, and I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this, especially those who have read the book. Zach Levy plays Harold, and he can make anything come to life simply by drawing it with his magical purple crayon. Great fantasy movie here, and throughout it, of course, it starts out with Harold just drawing things and having them come to life, but there's some great lessons in here as well for the family. So this one is a PG movie for the family based on a very popular children's book, and it's called Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Can he draw me some money? Can he do that? Okay, now, the current box office is doing just out of sight. I mean, with Deadpool, Wolverine, I mean, the money's just rolling. This is good because there was a downtime for a while with COVID, and it looks like people are back, you know, with a vengeance, going to the movies. And what'd you talk about the box office lately?
Well, yeah, don't believe everything you hear. The box office is always a roller coaster. When it's down, the pundits will say that movie theaters are dead. When it's up, people will say there's a resurgence in movie going. It's just something they'll always write. It's always a roller coaster, but we have had a spectacular run right now this summer at the box office. And if I can just highlight it to you, we have Inside Out 2. It has made over $600 million, and it's the biggest animated movie ever. And that's at the same time that we have Despicable Me 4 out, and that movie is going to do over $350 million. So when you look at two animated movies, they're on the big screen right now. They're going to do over $1 billion domestically combined. And that's just phenomenal. And that's just the family audience. You talked about Twisters. That's out. That's going to make over $200 million. But the real big story is the current box office phenomenon. And that's Deadpool and Wolverine. Last weekend, it smashed records by earning over $200 million at the domestic box office over the weekend. Right now, it has made over $300 million. And in its second week, it will become the number one R-rated movie of all time at the box office in only 2 weeks. I mean, that's phenomenal. The movie is going to be up over $400 million after its second week. Right now, it's a little over $300. And you really have to take a look at R-rated movies to see they don't usually run this high because there is an audience that typically can't go to see them. The next biggest
I was going to say nobody will guess what the second highest grossing R-rated film was, and I would never have guessed it, but you just said it, The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, The Passion of the Christ, $370 million, and people have to remember that was quite some time ago that was released. That was 20 years ago now that was released. Interestingly enough, The Passion of Christ, The Resurrection is coming out this next spring, and details of that are under wraps. So we'll see what that does. But I'm looking at Deadpool, and it is far and away ahead in terms of speed of any of these movies. It's going to break the record in 2 weeks, whereas these movies took several weeks in long runways. Because The Passion of Christ was second with $370 million. Deadpool was third, the original Deadpool with $363 million. And then American Sniper was fourth with $350 million. But audiences are just loving Deadpool and Wolverine. And this one is one where I think it's palatable that more people are coming out to see it. I think more adults are seeing it with their teens that maybe wouldn't go see R-rated movies with them. And the fact that it's It's a Marvel movie that is just a triumphant return of Wolverine along with, is played by Hugh Jackman with Ryan Reynolds. And those two guys on the big screen are just a juggernaut on their own. And now together, look what you've got. So you asked me how the box office is doing. Yeah, box office is doing phenomenally. And we've got plenty of great hits this year and next year coming up. So hang on. It's going to be a great ride in the box office.
See, I wouldn't have picked American Sniper as one of the big R-rated hits, but a lot of people say, well, what about all the horror movies like Halloween? What about all the horror, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre? What about all the movies with that, the race car movies? What were they called? With Vin Diesel.
The Fast and Furious movies or the Fast Sagas were not R-rated movies.
Oh, they weren't?
That's the reason why they wouldn't be in there.
Okay.
Keep in mind, horror is a very interesting genre. And when you look at it, for a lot of studios, it's very profitable because typically their budgets aren't very high, typically. However, keep in mind that there's only a certain segment of the movie-going population that is interested in going to see a horror movie. You know, people either like horror, they'll go to them, or they don't, typically. Now, there are some crossover exceptions that happen all the time, particularly when it's more of a thriller than a horror movie. But that's the challenge with The Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th or any one of those, is that they typically appeal to horror moviegoers. But there's people like me who are just scaredy cats, and I do watch a lot of these, but I'll tell you.
Big sissy.
Yeah, I'll tell you. They're hard for even me to watch, and you won't get my wife going to one, unfortunately.
You would think that those movies would be big box office, but, you know, people go see them. But not enough to make them one of the biggest R-rated films of all time. Are there any they don't call them X anymore. Are there any NR, what they call it? What's the X-rated film now? It's called
NC-17. Yeah. And it will be not rated. Yeah. And I'll tell you, not in the traditional sense. You won't see those. Sometimes you'll see movies that have explicit content and they just have not been submitted, or it's just something where it's a non-rated movie. Those are typically independent movies, typically cinephile festival movies and things like that. Yeah. But you won't see them often on the big screen. In order to be released in movie theaters, people are going to go and get that R rating just so that it can be distributed on screen very wide.
You know, I was about to say, is the threshold so high now that there are no NC-17 movies? Because I remember there are movies like Midnight Cowboy, which is really a tame movie. I mean, they show it on TCM all the time. Midnight Cowboy was an X-rated movie, and now it's R at best. But there were other movies out there that were X-rated movies that you look at today and you say, really? I mean, that was X-rated for the time? So the threshold change. We're now, we'll make it an R, and you really got to be off the calendar to be an NC-17 film, because you don't see them anymore.
Yeah, you don't see them. They're just not palatable for people. But frankly, I think all the studios are saying whatever the content is, whatever the story is, we can get it into an R rating. That's typically what they're seeing.
Well, RoboCop, when it first was coming out, was rated X because of all the violence. And they toned it down a little bit and got an R rating out of it. But it's not only sex that makes it an X or NC-17. It could be violence if it's really out of whack. But anyway, we're talking to Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters. More coming up. We're talking movies on our Friday morning at WRJN. Local news, timeless hits, and movies.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Get ready for the winning team of selection, service, convenience, and savings at Studebaker's Fuel and Food in Racine. During this sweltering summer, cool down with an ice cold deal. 10-pound bags of ice for just 99 cents. Keep your refreshing beverages cool while you're out and about. Whether you step into the store or slide through the convenient drive-thru, Studebaker's great selection is the fuel to keep you going. Fast meets fantastic at Studebaker's Fuel and Food, located at 31 and Spring in Racine.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Racine Youth Sports. Providing quality structured youth sport activities to the children of Racine County, their various programs teach sports fundamentals, good sportsmanship, character, discipline, competitiveness, and teamwork in a positive, caring, and safe environment. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase a $40 sports registration certificate for just $20. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Olympics are underway in Paris, and did you know the Badger State is well represented? 18 athletes on Team USA call Wisconsin home. There are two from the northwestern part of the state, Kenny Bednarik, a runner from Rice Lake, and weightlifter Mary Tyson Lappin from Eau Claire. Two from northeast Wisconsin qualified. Tyrese Halliburton is from Oshkosh and plays basketball, and Madeline Watermaker is a rower from Neenah. 14 are from the south central and southeast area, ranging from Margarita Vincenti, competing in fencing. She's from Hartford. Palin Jacobson from Elkhorn is a wrestler. Marie Laborde qualified for judo and is from Kenosha. Then we have Lauren O'Connor from Belleville, Sophia Vitas from Franklin, and Nick Rusher from West Bend. They're all competing in rowing. The Olympic Games continue through August 11th. Go team! Until next time, I'm Terry Baugh.
I wonder if there's an Olympic sport for watching movies. Who can sit in the best position in a chair for 3.5 hours and watch a movie? You know, we're just talking about the ratings very briefly. When the ratings first came out by the Motion Picture Association of America, they didn't want any antitrust lawsuits put against them because, you know, a lot of theaters won't take a movie that's not rated. They just won't do it. So they, at the time, it was G, M, R, and X. Everything was copyrighted except the X. And they said, you don't want to submit for a rating? Just slap the X on your movie. It's free. It's not copyrighted. And that's why the X rating was, that's how we got the triple X movies at one time, because they can use the X rating. It wasn't copyrighted to avoid the antitrust lawsuits. All right, enough with that. Let's talk about some upcoming releases coming out this month and into September. One of my favorite movies is coming back. Well, actually a remake of it. And I'll just give you a little hint in September. It's showtime. Anyway, so let's talk about what's in August.
All right, a couple things coming up next week. These tickets are on sale. Get these tickets because they're great movies. It Ends With Us is coming out next week. We have some early release screenings on Wednesday of next week and then next weekend. This movie is based on a Colleen Hoover novel, and this was at the top of the New York Times best-selling list for years. It stars Blake Lively, who is just phenomenal in this movie. I've seen it. I won't spoil it for you, but it's a great movie. It is an excellent drama. People that have read the book tell me it's excellent and it's true to the book. Colleen Hoover's It's End With Us, a great drama romance film starring Blake Lively that is out. So I'd recommend that one. And then there's a video game movie, Borderlands, that's coming out, which looks like just a tremendous action picture. If you look at this, it's directed by Eli Roth. It stars Jamie Lee Curtis. It stars Jack Black. It stars Kevin Hart. It's got a list of people in this movie. It's a sci-fi adventure. And for this one, if you come out on Thursday night, we have something special for you. If you come out on Thursday night to Marcus Theaters, you're going to get a free large soda. It's a free collectible cup. You can fill it up with any salt and beverage you want, courtesy of Mountain Dew, who is the sponsor of the movie. And then we've got all kinds of different sweepstakes that you can scan a QR code for in that cup to win. So Borderlands opening night would be a great time to come out. That's next Thursday for Borderlands.
Wait, did you mention that Eli Roth, did he direct the film?
Yes, he directed the movie.
He directed two horror movies that... it's hard to gross me out at a horror movie, but he did it, and they're so well done. Hostel and Hostel 2. Remember those movies?
Of course.
Oh, they, you know, nothing was more violent and graphic than those. They were done very well, but Eli Roth made those movies, Hostel and Hostel 2. Wow. All right, continue. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, when you look at that, and then also, you know, he's got a pedigree of other movies as well. But most of them are horror movies, but he definitely does have a pedigree that leads itself to action as well. So great stuff there coming back out. We then get to August 16th, the week after that. Tickets are on sale for this movie, too. We have another Alien movie coming out. If you haven't seen the trailer for Alien Romulus, you'll know that it's absolutely terrifying. And two of my favorite movies are actually Alien 1, directed by Ridley Scott, and Alien 2, directed by James Cameron. Watch this trailer, and you will get chills like the first time you saw either one of those movies. So we've got another Alien movie coming up, and it's called Alien Romulus that comes out on August 16th.
Yeah, Aliens was one of my favorites. Bill Paxton was in that film as almost the comic relief, and he was very good. And what a great movie, Aliens. Great monsters, too, in those movies.
And then everyone is coming back. You identified this movie. We've got the weekend after Labor Day. We have Beetlejuice coming up. And I think this is probably the most anticipated movie of the next month. You've got Tim Burton directing. You've got pretty much everyone coming back. You've got Jen Ortega is in the movie. Monica Bocelli is in the movie. Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder. There's also Danny DeVito and all kinds of other cast members that are going to be back at this one. As you said, once that it hits the big screen, we're going to know it's showtime. I don't think they can miss it, this one. This one's one of the most highly anticipated movies of this fall. It's September, it's going to be Beetlejuice, and October, it's going to be the next Joker movie. These are the two movies that are the most anticipated movies for the next couple months.
It's showtime. I love what he said. Man. All right, got some movie anniversaries now. 25 years ago, we had The Thomas Crown Affair, which was a remake of the Steve McQueen film from 1968, but the remake was pretty good.
Yeah, the remake was excellent. I definitely enjoyed it. Now, keep in mind, it's a remake that was only about 30 years after the Steve McQueen movie. So right now we're in territory. Maybe they'll remake it again. We're in about that territory now. But both Thomas Crown Affairs, either from 1968 or 25 years ago with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo, were excellent.
Two others have a 25-year anniversary, too.
Yeah, 30 years ago, on April 3rd or August 3rd, you had Clear and Present Danger. Harrison Ford was back as Jack Ryan from the Tom Clancy novel. I think Clear and Present Danger, it's actually my favorite. I think when people look at that, they'd say, well, do you like Hunt for Red October? Do you like Patriot Games or Clear and Present Danger? Clear and Present Danger is actually my favorite, starring Harrison Ford. And then 35 years ago, we had Steve Martin. He's still at it today, but Steve Martin, 35 years ago, starred in the Ron Howard-directed Parenthood, which is on the top of a lot of people's comedy lists. So that's 25 years ago, Thomas Crown Affair, 30 years ago, Clear and Present Danger, and 35 years ago, Parenthood.
Now, we got some movie news. And by the way, I got to send you this picture. The big thing that changed movie theater viewing were the seats, the reclining seats you have in movie theaters. I've got to send you a picture of the latest movie theater. They got rid of the reclining seats and put beds in the theaters, sleeping beds in the theaters with pillows. You lay out, you got to see this picture. I don't know if I want that. The recliners are good enough. I don't want to go sleeping for the movie. I want to watch the movie. But it's like you're watching a movie in bed on a giant screen. You know, I can't believe they're doing that now. I hope you guys don't put the beds in.
Let's just say the recliners are a good enough stage for me. It's already late at night. You know, sometimes you'll close your eyes and you'll be tempted to fall asleep already in a recliner. So I'm good with that stage.
I'll send you the picture of the bed. You'll love it. All right, got some movie news. Let's run through that.
All right, a couple of big ones. The Britney Spears biopic is now at Universal Pictures. They have assigned director John Chu, who of course is doing Wicked, to basically bring this to life. And it's based off her memoir, I'm a Slave for You. So that should be very interesting because obviously we all know the story of Britney. She was a childhood star. Then she had a lot of things going on with her and recently ended that conservatorship that her parents had over her. So Britney Spears biopic coming to Universal Pictures. We'll see how close that comes out. Then we've got Gladiator 2. Ridley Scott says Gladiator 2, which is going to star Denzel Washington and Joseph Quinn. There is a scene in this movie where Ridley Scott says, it's the biggest action sequence I've ever done. Now, coming from Ridley Scott's, That is a big task to fill. That is a big assignment. So if we really get that kind of epic adventure, I'm really looking forward to Gladiator 2 that's going to be coming out this November. And then lastly, Christopher Lloyd, who's 85 now, he's going to return to the screen to star opposite Bob Odenkirk in Nobody 2. This should be a great movie, and I'm looking forward to seeing Christopher Lloyd on screen. It's hard to believe. You've always thought of Christopher Lloyd as an older person, but looking back at Back to the Future, he was only in his early 40s when he shot those, when you think about that. He's been on the screen simply forever.
My favorite character he played was Ignatowski on Taxi. Jim Ignatowski, the burnout on Taxi. And he was probably in his late 20s, early 30s, but he looked like an old guy in that in the TV series. But you're right. He always played older looking people. But what a great actor. 85 back on the screen again.